Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
I'm Brian.
Well, I'm going to go straight into giving you some advice. I mean, the guys have already said at times it was a little bit out of sync. Change the mentality. This is not a race. At moments, it looked like, I've got to get there before Emily. Slow it down a little bit. Yeah. Together is always the best option when you're dancing. Not ahead of, okay? Together. A little bit flat-footed at moments, but as we've said, Jive is a very technical, very fast, complicated dance to start off with, and I thought you made a very good fist of it.
Well, thank you very much, Brian.
There you go, that's Dancing with the Stars. Ireland runs weekdays on Sundays at 6.30 at RT1, started last week. James Dempsey joins us once again. James, are you a big fan of the dancing programmes?
No. not really, like, to be honest with you. My mother watches Strictly every year, or at least has, not since its inception, but maybe for the last 5 or 6 years. Mm. And my mother is a big proponent of recording things and then fast forwarding through all of the, you know, filler.
Okay.
And that's getting a good idea. Just getting to the actual dance and then the judging. And she'll basically fly through, quick step her way through everything else. And this was a bit of a slog. I actually was a bit delighted when I was about kind of 30 minutes into the 2 hour broadcast that was on Sunday, when I got a call from a friend of mine, and I was then able to pause the live TV and fly my way a little bit through the rest of it. Because I just thought, like, you know, in 2 hours, we actually only saw, I think, five competitive dances.
Yeah.
And they themselves are only about 90 seconds long anyway. So when you stretch that across a 2 hour broadcast, including ads, admittedly, but it's just, for me, pushing the boundary on patience for how much of this I personally can endure. I think the real problem Dancing with the Stars faces is that Strictly has become, right, this Strictly is kind of a really interesting show to think about, because who would have thought when they launched, whatever, I don't know, 2002 maybe, when they launched this competitive dancing show with a few C-list celebrities, that not only would it come to sort of be very successful in its own right, it would become this massive international brand, and still 15 seasons in is able to command an audience of about 10 million people.
Yeah, and kick the X Factor's ass.
To see even the X Factor begin and die within its lifespan is something to be really credited with. So I think Dancing with the Stars Ireland faces a really unfortunate comparison to a very polished show across the Irish Sea.
Mm.
And, you know, if it was sort of running comparatively, by that I mean if sort of Dancing with the Stars Ireland season 2 was running with Strictly season 2, you'd be able to see their progression more aligned. The problem is this comes after 3 months of the BBC's most successful, most polished and completely sort of set in its way programming. And it's hard to not compare this unfavourably. And it's not really fair.
It isn't really fair.
My biggest problem with it is not the quality of the celebs, which I think is actually pretty fine for this kind of show. Not the quality of the dancing either. I just think it's a little bit lacking in the charm of Strictly. And I don't even really like Tess Daly as a presenter at all. I find her sort of this just very tall, blonde, milquetoast presenter. But I do respect that she signed on to this show very early on and she has made it her own. And look, she's not a comedian. The writers give her these really corny wooden jokes. She delivers them in a really corny way. But that is, that she's earned the right to do that, right?
Yeah.
This, we instead get Amanda Byram, who as a presenter, is fine. She gets the job done. But she is not exactly, she doesn't strike me as this sort of great wit or a great deliverer of a punchline.
Mm.
And she'll give you in about, 30 seconds, 4 different puns relating to something. But there's no pause or or delay. It's just pun, 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 dance.
Yeah.
And it just is, for me, it's just lacking in a bit of charm. Nikki Byrne, on the other hand, I actually think has quite a lot of charm. And I'm surprised to say this because when I talked about Dancing with the Stars last year, I'm pretty sure I slated him. And so I'm going to give him most improved because I think he has a very good natural affability that you want in this kind of presenting job. You want someone who is nice, who says the odd ribald joke and who can keep the ball moving and, keep it all under control. And Nikki Byrne to me is actually probably the one who should be at the front and Amanda at the back. But look, that's not for me to decide. What is obviously going to happen here is Marty Morrissey is going to win.
Do you think so?
I do think so.
No, I mean, like, it's the Marty Morrissey show at the moment. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Right? Now, yeah. Admittedly, none of the women danced in the first week. Marty, what I will say for Marty is, if ever there was sort of an example of how Irish broadcasting in its unique charm, it is Marty Morrissey, because he is this kind of unusual sports pundit.
But a beloved figure, but a beloved national treasure.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And what I will say, to his credit, he is by no means the worst dancer, and he definitely. He is, as my father would say, a bit of a couture, right? He knows what he's doing and he's trying, right? You could see when he did his quick step, I think it was, that he had actually applied himself. He was holding himself very erect and he was really throwing himself into it. And then in the immediate interview after with Amanda, where they're all panting and sweating and they immediately, you know, turn on the faders to catch whatever they say to the dancer, and it's all very touching. He delivered this very, you know, slyly, cleverly, emotive kind of, oh, we're all just a family, we're all, like, it seemed like he was on the verge of tears.
Yeah.
And look what happened last year, right? So in the final, it was two women who were by far better dancers against a GAA player, and he won, right? Marty Morrissey is going to become the Ed Balls of this, right? He is going to go, I would say, at least to the semi-final.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Okay. Yeah, but there were better dancers.
Definitely.
On Sunday night,
yeah,
than him.
There were.
Nathan Carter's brother, for instance.
It was fine. But sure, he appears in Panto. He probably
so he was probably able to dance anyway, and we haven't seen the women.
What I will say is, what is another stretching thing is, there's a lot of waiting around for them to actually start the dance when they play the music. There's a lot of intro, kind of like looking at their watch, doing a bit of point.
Yeah, is there a lot of. How long is that show? Because Dancing with the Stars is, what, 2 hours or something?
Yeah, I think Strictly is, like, it could be an hour and a half at least as well, but no ads at all. You know, it's a long show, but the difference is, on the BBC, it's on Saturday night, which is a night you feel you can sort of dedicate more towards a kind of an hour and a half of wasted TV, whereas Sunday night you have to get yourself together for the week to come.
Yeah. Right, okay, a couple of bits of TV news. The top 20 most viewed TV programmes in Ireland last year were on...
All on RTE. Okay. So either on RTE1 or RTE2. And what is...
Now that surprises me, because one doesn't get the impression RTE2 is doing huge business in terms of audience figures.
Except for when it comes... Exactly. That's it, live sports. So the biggest show of the year was the Late Late Toy Show, which I'd say will probably be the biggest show of 2018 when those figures come out as well. And that saw 1.35 million people tune in. Of the other 19... positions, we'll say, in the top 20, 11 of them are live sports shows, which goes to show that there is perhaps, if you're looking for viewer figureships, there is better investment if you pour your money into sport, even if I can tell you I didn't watch a single one of those 11
shows. Lots of other people did.
What is of note, I think, is when it comes to then kind of scripted TV shows, there's only one, which is both of the Mrs. Brown's Boys Christmas specials, which were 10 and 11. Then I think Dermot Bannon will be delighted to know he comes in at number 14 with Room to Improve.
Juice, yeah.
The news is at 9 and the news at 6 and at 9 are at 13 and 15. And then Dancing with the Stars.
There you go.
17.
Shows what you know.
It does.
Yeah. And Mike Myers has been hosting a game show in disguise.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit of a known secret, to be honest with you. So in the US, they've brought back this kind of like a Britain's Got Talent style show called The Gong Show, which ran from 1976 to 1980. And I can only tell you that because I looked it up today.
Yeah.
No clue. And in it, they get celebrities to judge kind of wacky performers from the public. And if they are really bad, they get up and ring a massive gong. And Mike Myers... of Austin Power and Shrek fame has been presenting the show completely in disguise as an English man named, I need to find this here because it is, as you can imagine, a completely nonsense made up name, Tommy Maitland.
Yeah.
This sort of like very kind of affable 72-year-old British presenter who is plucked from the 1970s essentially. And he's been, you know, donning the makeup and performing as him. Now it's been a known secret that it has been him, but ABC have finally sort of let the
fessed
cat out of the bag,
up,
fessed up, and attached his name to the credits as this.
That was a great idea. Right, we do have to take a commercial break. A couple more shows to talk about after this.
You're not getting anything?
Sure, aren't I doing this fast for Ethiopia?
Well, for Christ's sake, what is it with you in Africa?
Will you sponsor me?
How much?
£2.
£2. Get yourself on.
What's happening over there is really lousy, Aaron. Father Conway showed us a video and there's this one wee fella, Kamal. He's only 10 and every morning he walks 25 miles in the year as well.
Does he just really enjoy Wales, eh?
25 miles? How far is that?
Far?
Like, how far are we talking? From here to Bungrana?
Further? It's more like from here to Ballybuffet.
There you go. That's Derry Girls. That started last Thursday at 10 p.m. on Channel 4. That you can catch up on All 4. I suppose much anticipated. Did it live up to it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I actually got to it late to the game because I wasn't in the country last Thursday, and I only saw the big reaction to it on Twitter. You know, and how it had been so well received by people that I follow, which made me think it would probably be well received by me because that's how that echo chamber works. So I tuned in yesterday, and I actually wish I'd almost had the chance to watch the episode again today before I came back to it, because what I will say was what I really enjoyed about this was, it was good, proper, modern sitcom in the sense that it was fast-paced. There were a lot of jokes. Not every one of them landed, but there, if one didn't, you knew it wasn't long before another one would come along and pick up the pace. Now, I saw it compared to The Inbetweeners meets kind of like, I don't know, something else. And it also takes place in 1994, so it's hitting that kind of 20-year nostalgia gap that is very prominent, you know, in 80s and 90s right now is so hot right now. And I will say, I think that is a fair comparison to The Inbetweeners because you
have... Except it's in Derry.
Except that it's in Derry.
Other level on top of that.
Yeah, so you've got the background of the Troubles and that it's about girls rather than boys, which may not seem like some sort of revelatory thing. But look, when was the last time you saw a sitcom fronted by four women? Sex and the City. When was that? 2002, 2001?
Well, was Girls not?
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know if that counts as a sitcom, but
All right, fair enough.
All right, but you know, you're totally right. It's amazing how quickly that one has just completely faded from my awareness. But anyway, so you have the... It is like The Inbetweeners in the sense you've got these four friends, two I think are cousins, but anyway, these four teenage girls in a Catholic school in Derry, because it is Derry Girls rather than Londonderry Girls, but it wears that awareness of Derry Londonderry very, you know, prominently on its sleeve. And you do have, I think it is very much like, it does remind me a lot of The Inbetweeners in the sense that The Inbetweeners came along and by the end of the first episode, you knew exactly what kind of show it was. You knew, admittedly, there was a bit of a rote idea of where it was going to go in every episode, but each of the performers were sort of throwing themselves so perfectly well into the role that you knew even a weak episode would be absolutely fine and a good episode would be hilarious.
Yeah.
And I thought this as an opening episode was ruthlessly efficient at bringing in who the characters are, what the makeup of their sort of interpersonal relationships, the background, introducing numerous background characters, including parents, grandparents, you know, non-principals, teachers and so on. I thought it just was very well made and I was kind of surprised then when I looked into the background of the creator to see what she'd been involved in. Her name is Lisa McGee. She made Raw for RTE, which is the chef drama.
Program, yeah.
And she made London Irish, which was this one season disaster sitcom on Channel 4 a couple of years ago about Northern Irish people living in London. I think it is, nobody really remembers it. So I'm very pleased with, you know, that sounds really trite, but I am, like, this was a really pleasant surprise. I thought it was funny, fresh, daring and clever and, you know, it was showing like the payoff of, I guess, shows like Girls and movies like Bridesmaids and whatever that one last year with, which was Bridesmaids with black women that I can't remember. Girls Trip is what it's called. that these are kind of raunchy female-led comedies that have shown to be successful at the box office or at least on American TV. And if they can do it over there, why can't we do it over
here? Right. Is it a sitcom in the traditional sense? Is there an element of series to it? Or serial to it, I should say.
I think it's more sitcom, straightforward sitcom. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Right, our third show today is a show that James completely raved about this time last year. It is, of course, Striking Out. Season 2 continues on Sundays at 9:30 on RTE1. Here's a clip.
I've read through your file. You were arrested for working illegally. And no immigration papers. All the appeals are exhausted. I have written to the department, but I'm not hopeful it'll do any good.
I am to be deported on Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, if there's anything you need or if I can help in any way.
You cannot help.
Right.
Thank you. You can leave now.
There you go. That's striking out. So, James, last year, I think you gave it a sort of a lukewarm reception, as I recall.
Yeah, I did. And I will say, right, so last year I much derided this as being a Good Wife ripoff.
Mm.
And this year, it's slightly less, based on the first episode, it is slightly less of a Good Wife ripoff. But I thought as an hour of TV drama, it was interminably boring. All right. And I think the biggest problem I have with this is that it doesn't play to the strengths of anyone involved in it at all. Particularly Ireland's sweetheart, Amy Huberman, who many people will not hear a bad word said against. And you're now going to hear a few choice bad words said against
carefully
her.
Chosen bad words.
Which is that her skill as an actress is not in this po-faced, miserable, you know, old one who's walking around like the milk curdled in her coffee this morning when she was making it, which is this character, Tara Rafferty. She is walking around with a sourpuss and miserable throughout the whole thing. And that's not Amy Huberman. Amy Huberman is Ireland's sweetheart. She is at her best when it's light and funny and clever and witty, because that are all of the things that she is. She's witty and clever and funny. And that is what they should be making this show instead of this misery nonsense.
But is she not acting?
Not well.
Okay, in case you just tuned in, we're with our TV reviewer, Tommy Maitland.
So, right here, my biggest problem with this is after, so there were four episodes in the first season, she plays a solicitor named Tara Rafferty. Mm. She works with a barrister named Vincent, played by Neil Morrissey, and another one named George, played by Marie Doyle Kennedy. I cannot tell you now, having seen five episodes of this show, in any way how the Irish legal system works. I cannot tell you what a solicitor does versus what a barrister does. It all seems to happen at breakneck speed. They can decide that, you know, you file a motion and in 10 minutes the person will be out of jail. I don't think that's how it
that
works.
That really happens, yeah.
So I don't understand how the legal system works. I just don't know. So I understand, right, there's Silk, the BBC's legal drama. Yeah. I've never seen it, but I know it's very well received, right? So that must do a very, and I understand our legal system is very much influenced
similar,
by that
system.
So there obviously is good drama to be made out of the legal system. The problem in here is we've got two different legal worlds coming together. Tara is a family lawyer, but she's also then got this intrigue of this big corporate law firm run by her ex-fiancé's father, who is trying to destroy her professionally and personally, despite the fact that the only thing she did was find that her ex-fiancé was sleeping with another woman during her hen party. So I don't understand the backstabbing that's going on.
Mm.
I don't understand the legal cases that are going on. I don't understand why everybody's so miserable. They've also gotten rid of her love interest, this kind of hot Canadian guy named Pete, who was serving coffee and they were falling in love over lattes. They gave him the heave-ho within about 5 minutes. So that was all wasted, you know.
That's immigration.
The best part was,
time ran out.
They turfed him out of his cafe and she out of the shed in which she was working as his office. His career seems to have imploded. I mean, his cafe no longer exists. His love life is gone. And she's just like, look, this isn't working for me. See ya.
And what? Do we hear? Are we told why Pete didn't work out?
No,
he's just disappeared.
They have a fond hug, farewell, a hug of death, as you would say, and he is, I think, to be seen no more.
Oh God!
So for me, structurally, it just doesn't make any sense at all. I sit there sort of going, what is happening? I don't understand, and I do understand people love Amy Huberman, and let me say, My fundamental flaw with this is it doesn't play to her strengths. There aren't enough jokes in this. Like, I think in this kind of show, you need a lot of comic relief. And by comic relief, I don't mean like slapstick.
Mm.
I mean really snarky, funny, biting humor.
Yeah.
And just don't get any of that.
Yeah. Well, in the first one, you know, I mean, part of the reason why he accused it of being a Good Wife ripoff, there was that premise of that, as you just described, she finds out about
and then she goes,
right, I'm going to concentrate my legal career. That premise seems to have watered down considerably then when we go into the second series. It's not there anymore.
Well, she's still a lawyer striking out on her own. And my biggest concern was rather that in the first series, there was also this private investigator woman walking around in leather jackets, which was also a Good Wife knockoff as well, right? But I'm just very unclear about what kind of... There is some grander arc involving some tribunal, which I still don't really understand. They didn't really give a very good explanation of what had happened in the first season. Instead, they had this really strange opening scene where they were laying out where all the characters are in a very dramatic... right, in this very dramatic slow-mo, walking through a rainy Dublin. But to be honest with you, it was shot in such a deliberately styly, arty way that it looked like when you're watching Wimbledon and they go to, you know, the eagle-eye camera thing to see if the ball is in or out of the net, and it's like, so, you know, superimposed and swooping in and out, and it just threw me, and I thought, are these the opening credits or what is going on? And then they ended and then the opening credits started. I just found it a very strange hour of television.
James Dempsey, thanks very much for coming into us. We're going to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.